Friday. So the Bible reading is from Luke 1, 26 to 38, birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was gently troubled at that saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting that meant, that what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is her sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Please be to God.
"Mary, Did You Know" is such a cool song. I remember one year at Christmas, I decided to do the Christmas song sermons by preaching some of the carols, and that was probably the favourite one I did. But I'm not doing that one today. Each year at Christmas, we do a few Christmas services leading into Christmas, and it's, you know, about four chapters of the Bible that relate to Christmas, and there's a lot more there, and you do them more often than any others. And how do you do it in a different way? Well, this year I came up with doing it with a word for each of the stories. So last week was faithful. God is faithful. And we started with the story, the fact that the Old Testament finished with these words, "Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and the great and terrible day of the Lord." And as I was sitting with the YWAMs this week and sharing that they were the last words of the Old Testament, I said, "What was the first event of the New Testament?" And our Dutch friend, who claims that English is his second language and this is why he did it, said, "Gynecology." He meant genealogy. But he came up with gynecology and we all laughed when I asked Lily, that one you said was so lovely, she said that was her highlight of the week, watching Aaron put his foot in it. No, actually, Aaron, you're right. God did some pretty amazing gynecology at that moment when Elizabeth became pregnant. He sent the angel Gabriel to say, "Zachariah, you're going to have a kid." And a bit later, Jesus said, "But I say to you, Elijah has already come. They did not recognize him. They did whatever they wished. And so also the Son of Man is going to suffer." And the disciples realized that he was talking about John the Baptist. God is faithful. So what happens this week? Gabriel appears to Mary. I don't know why it does this. It was fine on my screen. Actually, is it fine on the little screen there, or is it doing that? Yeah. Oh, well, Graham, in February we're going to have another play. Yeah. Gabriel appears to Mary. And the word that struck me was obedience. Obedience. Obedience, before we get into too much what the outcome of it, I want to put a couple of thoughts on obedience. To the appropriate authority. You don't obey everything that everyone says to you. Otherwise, I'm saying some things like, next week I want cheesecakes and money brought, please. You're not going to obey me? No, because I'm not the appropriate authority on those things. I hope you know that. What is the appropriate authority? God, obviously. If God tells you something, do it. He is the appropriate authority in all situations. But there are times when parents are the appropriate authority. Maisie, Hugh, Maddie, this is for you. Your parents are the appropriate authority. Listen to them. Chris, you're a little bit off the hook now. You just spent some time with your mum and you love her dearly, but you don't have to do everything she says anymore because she's not... There's a difference between you and mum and Maddie and Sarah. Do you agree with that? Yeah. There's a time when that shifts your always call to honour, but not obedience changes. The government, where they're appropriate. Even if we don't like that speed limit, they got the right to set it. There are times when the government does stupid things like Hitler did. But unless there's a really distinct clash between God's word and what the Bible says, obey the government. Your employer, same situation. If there's a distinct difference between what your employer's saying and what God's saying, go with God. He outranks your employer. But otherwise, you'd be obedient. The appointed leader. We had a Wham team here. Aaron was the leader. He's not their parent. He's not their God. He's not their government. He's not their employer. He was the appointed leader for that season. If you're at a Lions club, whoever's the chairperson of the meeting at that time, you need to show a certain amount of obedience to them. So obedience is a good thing to the appropriate authority. Then as I thought about, there are three aspects to obedience. There's the normal obedience, there's special obedience, and there's God's example. That's what I want to talk about today in the light of this passage of Mary's, about Gabriel coming to Mary. Firstly, greetings, favoured woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. You think, all you women, I'm sure, have crossed your mind and gone, if I was this 15-year-old girl in the backyard and suddenly an angel turns up and says, you're favoured by God, you're going to be freaked out, aren't you? Don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, you have found favour with God. Whoa! What does the heck that mean? I think that's a hint to the fact of normal obedience. Normal obedience, I've described as to do what you know is right to the best of your ability. So Mary's a young lady who's a Jewish young woman doing her best to be a Jewish young woman, to follow the law and be appropriate to what all those things are. I believe that she was a good kid, so to speak. I cannot conceive that God came up to someone who was a rat bag, had been in trouble with their parents for years and done all sorts of things, and said, you have found favour with God. It's not because Mary was a good kid that she found favour with God. It wasn't her good works, but they didn't negate it. They left her in the people God could choose from her, so to speak. So normal obedience is us before God doing what we believe and know is right. Following the Bible and the things we know of God to the best of our ability. That's just yet every day, do it the best you can. And trusting in God's grace, because there's times when you're really not sure which is the best way to go, where you've stuffed it up. No, sorry, not you, we. But that's knife. The laws, your parents, your leaders, you're doing your best to balance that and go that way. Mary is a good example of this. She was doing basically what was right. And then something amazing comes up. Now, I want to describe it like this. Another reason I think that Mary was basically a good kid who was doing the right thing is like this. All of you who are parents here with children that are old enough to have kids, imagine your daughter comes up and says, "By the way, Mum, Dad, I'm pregnant." Oh, dear. Who is he? It's God. An angel came to tell me that I'm going to be pregnant with the work of the Holy Spirit and I'm pregnant. How many are you going to believe your kid? It's tough to believe, isn't it? And as I thought about that, I am now the parent of two daughters who are old enough to have children. No, neither of them has come up and said this. And I don't believe it happened again because, all right, this was a one-off of God's. But when I look at Esther's character, Esther is not perfect. Esther makes mistakes. But if Esther came and told me something in a serious note, this crazy, my inclination is to believe her. Her character is such that, and there's evidence. Like, I know Esther's not off running around spending a whole lot of time with fellas. Mary's parents would have known that too. Turn up, "I'm pregnant because God said so," is freaky. Struggle to believe it. Mary struggled to believe it. I'm sure her parents struggled to believe it. But Mary's character was one such that they would have wanted to believe it. That's normal obedience. Are you the sort of people that if you've got to tell a story to someone and you're in serious mode, okay, there are times I tell a story and the look on my face, you're going, "What the heck's the rubbish in this?" Because there's no way Downsy's telling me, he's trying to have a lend to me here. But I hope I'm someone that when I'm telling, you know I'm being serious, that even if it's hard to believe, you're going, "I'm going to look for the evidence because I know he's someone who's trying to bring." Are we people like that? Are we the normal obedience? "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." That's not an everyday occurrence. Special obedience is when God reaches in and asks you specifically to do something for him. It's called a special direct call of God. How many of you have felt led to go to Kazakhstan as a missionary? No. I did at one stage for a season, and I went. How many of you feel called to become a chaplain to the ambulance? Oh, only one hand. Praise God, Cliffy, and we do endorse that. And pray that God leads you on those steps. But it's not what all of you are called to, is it? There are times when God's got a specific call for you. I encourage you to follow that call. We're not all called to the same things. And the call is usually connected to our shape. So what did the angel come and say, "Mary, you're going to be a mother"? Now that's freaky. No, it's not. It's pretty darn normal, actually. There were some very non-normal bits about it. the number of Jewish young women who didn't want to be a mother is about zero in that day and age. That was just inconceivable. What do you mean, grow up and not have kids? Are you nuts? Who ever thought of such a thing? What was God calling Mary to? Motherhood of a particularly special child. What did she have to do? She had to grow that child up as best she could as a mother. With a loving husband, she had Joseph alongside till Jesus was at least 12. We don't know where Joseph fell off the scene. There were moments and there were hardships about that that were not normal. And then as an adult, Mary was there at the cross. How many sermons did Mary preach? How many times did she go out in the Jordan and say, repent? That was John's job. It was Peter's job to stand on the temple steps and preach. It was Mary's job to be a mum. It was the shape she'd put her. I'd encourage you. Look to what is it that God's called you to. And, hey, I have never had an angel turn up and tell me, this is what I want you to do. My father has been a godly follower of Jesus from before I was born. He's never had that one either. Most of us don't. How God gets the message across is different. But what has he called you to specifically? Do that. And be obedient to that. And if there's something that comes up that God in a specific way wants you to do, trust him to bring it up in a specific way. Whether that be an opportunity, whether that be a sense of wait on your spirit to do a particular thing, whatever it is, be obedient to that. But if that doesn't come up, stay in the normal obedience to what the path that God's got you on as best you can under the Bible scriptures, as best you can using wisdom, and do that. Thank God he hasn't called me to fix Ukraine. He's called me to minister here for this season. I want to minister here for this season until he tells me something else. And I encourage you to take the journey God's got you on and be obedient to that. And what was Mary's response? I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to be me fulfilled. Then the angel left her. That's the most appropriate response. When you know that God's asking you, yep, God, I'll go do it. That came after. How's this work, God? Okay, that was different to Zacharias. There's a little bit of doubt there. Not doubt in God as how that could work. All right? When God called me to Kazakhstan, I'm like, you sure, God? They got snow over there. When God called me to Silverdale, Ron and I asked the question, is this what you want, God? We will willing to do it. So I'd encourage you, if you think that sense of God calling something in your life is, have the heart that says, I want to do it, God. I'm just checking. It's okay to check with a respectful, honorable way that you've heard him right. Because I'm pretty sure some of you have come across someone sometime who thinks they're speaking from God for what something they've got for you, and you're like, nah, don't know where that came from, but I don't think it's from God. Some people think they're hearing from God. They're not. If you've heard from God, have that heart to obey. But it's okay to respectfully check out that you're hearing right. Mary said, did that and then said, so be it. Then we come to the third aspect of obedience. I go to Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found as the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. We are called and made in the image of God, and we're meant to become more like him. Obedience is something Jesus did in his incarnation, even to the point of death. You know, I think, I don't like being obedient. I had those moments as a child. I have those moments when I don't like the number on the sign there either. It says 60, and I think that should be an 80 zone or something. But I don't get the choice. Jesus was obedient. Does that take away some of your excuses to be not obedient? If Christ can be humble enough to do it, so can we. The purpose of obedience is the greater good. Why was Jesus obedient to God the Father? For fun? Oh, heaven's getting a bit boring. I think I'll go and be a baby. I doubt it. Oh, yeah, heaven's pretty boring. Let's excite it up. I'll go and get crucified. He did it for the joy that was set before him. He did it so that you and I can meet him in heaven. He did it for the good of others. It produced in great good when he was obedient. When we're obedient to God, we miss a heck of a lot of potholes. And the potholes we have to drive over get us to the place that is very useful to be at. And disobedience causes a mess. Imagine if Mary had said, "Nah, Gabriel, I don't think so. I don't want to go through this." It wouldn't have stopped it. God would have found someone else. But it wouldn't have been great for Mary. Imagine if Jesus said, nah, looked at that cross. Since I've been down here, I've seen this, a few of those. Nah, I'm not doing that. Oh my goodness, wouldn't the world be in an even bigger mess? He didn't. Anyone ever tried this? Disobeyed and found that it didn't end you up in a good place? Obedience to the appropriate authorities who have an appropriate amount of wisdom, and God always fits that category, produces good, and disobedience produces bad. So let me leave you with Mary's statement that we can all emulate, particularly when it comes to God. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her. I've often heard it said, when you're asking God what's next and whatever, it's a good idea to say, "God, show me what you want because I'm going to do it." That's hard to do when you're not sure. It's an act of trust in God. But it's worth it. So, obedience. I'm going to pray now. And I just want to encourage us to remind ourselves to go, "God, if you're asking something, I want to be obedient. Please be clear in it." Lord, maybe that is just our prayer. Lord, we know you're wise. We know you're loving. We know you've got our best at heart. We know you've set that out in your word in the normal levels of obedience and the wisdom you've given us. But we know also those times where you specially reach in and guide. Lord, help us to have the hearts and heads that are ready to say, "Yes, Lord, your will be done." And we humbly ask that you be clear in what you are asking. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.